This past week, I was talking to a local politician. Now, there seems to be an abundance of politicians right now. They're all looking forward to a primary and then hoping somehow or another to get on the payroll and get everything, you know, set for some time to come, I assume. And as I was talking to this individual, I wanted to, someone else started a conversation, but I decided then I would determine or try to determine what he had in mind. And after talking with him for a little while, with all due respect to the individual, I didn't think he had much. except a thing of perpetuating himself and certain other ideas of other people who might influence him. Someone has said that in this day and age, the handwriting is on the wall. The handwriting is on the wall. Someone else has added, yes, the handwriting is on the wall, but the average person is not reading it. As I thought about this in connection and relationship to those things which are going on in the world, I thought I would look back into the scripture, and I remember an old song which an old time singer sang many, many years ago, titled The Handwriting on the Wall, and dealt with Belshazzar's impious feast in the city of Babylon many, many, many years ago. We find in the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel, the account of that feast. Belshazzar, the successor of Nebuchadnezzar, was now the king of Babylon. He had decided that he would make a feast for all of his lords and princes, and they would make a feast that would be remembered for all time as being the greatest blowout that ever was. So they began to drink their wine, and they began to become merry, and apparently their tongues were loosened a little bit, and they were seeing all kinds of things. They tell me, you've never been in that condition, but tell me you see pink elephants and bugs and everything else going around here and there. But while the Belshazzar was tasting the wine, he then thought of all the things that had happened in the past, and he said, now what I'll do, I want you to go and get all of the golden vessels and all the treasures that were taken out of the temple of God down there in Jerusalem. When Nebuchadnezzar became the king, he raided that land of Judah, and he brought it all together, and he said, can you imagine anything greater than just to have a feast and use all these golden vessels that have been consecrated to the service of God? I think this was the height of blasphemy. I think that this was truly a mockery, as it were, almost spitting in the face of God, an abominable thing. So we find here, he said, bring them all out. We're going to have a real feast now. So they brought them out, and they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And in the same hour, the fifth verse of Daniel 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. When he saw it, what does it say about him? That then the king's countenance was changed, his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his knees were loosed, and his knees smote once one against another. His knees started knocking, he became so frightened and excited about what he saw. Then he wondered, what does it mean? What does it mean? Oh, how many times the sermons are presented on this subject. That is, if we go on down through here, where it tells about the interpretation of the writing. But we find here what I want you to see, not the interpretation of that writing, but the very fact that God has placed before mankind a message that will help them so that they need not be in the position of this impious king. We have written in our day and age in the signs of the time that handwriting on the wall where God is telling mankind what will happen, how it will happen, when it will happen, and exactly the results of all of the things of our day. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, the first three verses, we find there the account of Jesus' confrontation with the Pharisees, the hypocrites of his day. And there were those who came to him and said, Lord, they tempted him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? The signs of the time. When I go back to the book of the Gospel according to Mark, I read these words in the 25th verse of the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And it says, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The other we have experienced in our own country here in recent weeks, a natural cataclysm that goes beyond the imagination of man. When the first atomic bomb was exploded at Los Alamos in New Mexico, that is as a test there, men that stood about and they said very simply, man now has the capacity to destroy himself. The first atomic fission took place under the grandstand at the University of Chicago before that. And men stood in awe before that and wondered after that which they had unleashed. When the first bombs were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, or Hiroshima, however you desire to pronounce it, in Japan, World War II, men stood back, looked at the clouds, or flew around and saw the clouds and could not imagine what they had unleashed. And yet the natural cataclysm in Mount St. Helens in Washington was greater than all of that. The destructive force was greater than any of this had ever that man had unleashed. And when you look at the pictures, you can see the devastation there and you begin to wonder. I know that things like this have taken place in the past, but all of these things are only signs of that which is coming to pass. Greater than all this is man's inhumanity to man, man's inability to govern himself, man's refusal to honor the sovereign rulership of the God of heaven, and even in the nominal, and I put quotes around this, Christian church, there is a tremendous denial of the power and the influence of Almighty God. So I say today that we need to read the handwriting on the wall. We need to see it. We need to see in the signs of our day that God is saying to us in this world in which we live, get ready. Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer, is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to redeem, but he's also coming to judge. When I read about the display of immorality on the West Coast, Then I saw in the 2020 documentary the other night the depth of sin into which large areas of our society have fallen. I am not surprised. I am not surprised that difficulty is coming upon so-called nominal Christian America. We have on our coins, "In God We Trust." We have in our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, "One Nation Under God." That's way under, I'm sure. And anyway, we find that there's great difficulty in the world because of our failure to live up to our commitment. When we crucify, as it were, the individuals who stand for right and righteousness and decency and extol the virtues of the free morality of our day, certainly then we cannot long stand as a nation, even regardless of the principles that are laid down within the Word of God. The natural decay will eventually cause the house to fall. I remember many years ago, I was living in Grand Rapids, Michigan. There was a giant tree outside the bedroom window. And it had been raining. The tree looked solid and sound. And all of a sudden, I heard something pop. And then I heard a great creaking, and everything just seemed tearing to pieces. And I rushed to the window, and I looked out. And this giant tree was simply falling us to pieces. And when the whole thing was down, we got to looking at it. We saw that it was decayed within. It had been destroyed by internal decay. And when the simple rain and very light wind fell upon it, it had to fall. And so any society that goes on and lives contrary to God's will by its own moral decay destroy itself. And so God says, "I have a controversy with the nation." I want you to go back with me to the 25th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. God is opposed to the immorality of our day. God is opposed to our pleasure, a mad life that we're living. Individuals have a strange way of being well all week, but incapable of attending God's house on Sunday. People have a way of just simply turning off God and turning themselves on to other things. People have the ability to go out and cheer for the crowd in the crowd at the baseball field or the football park or wherever it might be. But at the same time, they turn around and they refuse to have any part in the enthusiasm that should back the God's work and God's church. And hence, the Scripture points out, and this is a prophecy. You say, well, that was written 600 years before the time of Jesus Christ, 2,500 or 2,600 years ago. But let's look at it for what it is saying about this day and age and apply it where it is. Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, it says, "A noise shall come," the 31st verse, "a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord of hosts." Now that's rather a harsh judgment. But it is the judgment of Almighty God. God says, "I have a controversy with the nation." When the individuals do as they are doing in this world now, we find that millions starving to death and other people willing to keep their food to themselves. Anything going, regardless of what may happen, just so it pleases me and exalts my power, then everything is fine. God says, "I'm against this. I am against it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts," verse 32, "Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be waste upon the ground." Now, I believe that these things are coming, and we should not stand shaking and quaking before this thought, but just ask ourselves at this time, but where do I stand with my God? What am I doing so that at least there is peace around me? What am I doing to help other individuals to escape the troubles that are here? I hope you read your bulletin today. A little item down there about Bible school. There's an item that you should read and you should think about very seriously. If someone does not hear the Word of God from you, and someone does not hear the Word of God through the church, how shall they hear? How shall they come to the day of redemption? How can they possibly enter the kingdom of God? Many people go on in their wild and woolly and wicked way because they do not know any better than that. You say, they don't know it, do not know any better. No, they do not. Because they've been brought up in it, they've been saturated in it, they've just been, it's so much a part of their lives. Why, there are people that sometimes use every word as a curse word. Every sentence has something in it, and they do not even realize, seemingly, that they're talking that way. Their lives need to be changed. And so you have a responsibility. Yes, not only a responsibility, but you can have the joy that comes through changing hearts and changing lives and being a part of God's force that is working today. Now, verse 34 is a very important verse, because this places the responsibility upon you. How, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and your dispersions and the are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. This is placing the responsibility upon the children of Israel, upon the religious leaders of the day, those who were supposed to be leading. And I'd like to apply it to every one of you today. Because every one of you today is a priest of God, a minister of the Word of God. As the Apostle Paul says, wherefore we having this ministry, let us go on and keep the faith and go on and serve God and serve Jesus Christ. For no one individual in the pulpit or no one person in the classroom can do it all. And so God wants to bless you. I want to emphasize this again. God wants to bless you. And He wants you then to be a blessing to someone else along the journey of life. In the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, we find these words, beginning with verse 3. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 3. We find Jesus speaking to the people, to His disciples. They ask, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And then verse 4, He says, take heed that no man deceive you. There are people going around in this world now who are expressing a very shallow, nominal relationship with God. All you have to do, they say, is just say, I believe. All you have to do is just say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's far more to it than that. There's far more to it than that. I believe that it's talking about a deep and abiding relationship with God, which is developed through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you must know, as the Apostle Peter expresses, be able to give to everyone that asks you a reason for the faith that lies in you. You can't tell somebody something that you do not know anything about yourself. They say that an empty head and an empty bottle make an awful lot of noise pouring out their contents. So just be sure that you know what's in God's Word. And study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must go on then. And it says in verse 13, the 24th chapter of Matthew, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. As you give your heart, your life, your devotion to God through Christ Jesus our Lord, in this day, in this age, in this day of trial, tribulation, heartache, there is a peace that passeth all understanding through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that no matter what happens economically, no matter what happens politically, no matter what happens religiously, if you are on God's side, you will be the victor. There are a lot of people that have a lot of money in the world, and a lot of people do not care how they get that which they have. And I've met people in the backwoods of Louisiana rocking back and forth on a an old rocking chair on an old rough pine porch. Didn't have two nickels to rub together in their pocket at that time. And they had faith in God. They had a deep and abiding relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And they knew where they knew where they were headed. They knew that God would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to the world to redeem His own. And they felt that if God's grace and mercy was what the Scripture said, they felt that God, through His goodness and promises, would grant them everlasting life when Jesus would come. And that for this reason, they were richer. They were richer than many of the rich, beyond the far beyond their means at that time. So God continues to keep His people. God continues to bless His people. And I want you to remember the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, as we find them in the last verse of the Gospel according to Matthew. It says this: "Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Your commission then, contrary to the thoughts of many individuals, your commission and my commission is to go to teach. Teach others to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Know God. Know Jesus Christ. Know the Word of God. Present the message of God and hope and the redemption to the world around you. And in this way, then, Jesus said, "And lo, I will be with you. Lo, I will be with you, even unto always, even unto the end of the world." It doesn't say that we will not, as it were, pass through the fire. It does not say that we will not sometimes pass through deep waters. It does not say that we will not have trial and heartache. It does not say that we will not have sickness and troubles, that the problems that we cannot resolve. But it does say, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, as you do what I have commanded you to do." The key then is to see what God would have you to do. The key then is to see the unfolding of the plan of the ages. And in these days and times in which we live, God is unfolding His plan of the ages. They tell us that there have been more earthquakes in this world in which we live. There have been more earthquakes in the last 5 years than have been in all of recorded history from that day, from the beginning of time till that time. And so it tells us about earthquakes, famines, floods, difficulties on the earth. It says all these things are the beginning of sorrows, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Will God bless you? Will He keep you? Of course He will. Will He strengthen you? Of course He will. Will He show you the way? Of course He will. Read the handwriting. Use the handwriting on the wall, as it were, as a sign. Read it and see there the signs of the redemption of mankind. The message of the hope of redemption for you and for me. And go forth then with joy, smiling. Yes, sometimes you plant in the garden. I plant the garden with the Lord's blessing. We have some things growing. But I look around there, and every once in a while I find some potato bugs and bean beetles and pickle worms and all types of things out there. All the things that are common to the garden. But I still believe in the goodness of God, because He has sent the sunshine, and He sent the rain, and He's given me the strength to go out and plant. He's caused the seed to come up, and God's goodness is there. And so it is in the midst of your life. You're planting, you're sowing, you're planting, you're tending, you're working with God. What God has given you, and in His mercy and in His goodness and in His grace, He'll keep you and strengthen you, so that regardless of what may happen in this world, there may be cataclysms greater than the Mount St. Helens eruption. But in God's goodness, He will keep you. He will love you. He will redeem you. He will bring you into the kingdom of God if you walk with Him by faith. So I exhort you this morning, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Redeemer, if you are troubled by the things of are happening today, and I'm troubled, don't not misunderstand me. In fact, my wife says to me every once in a while, "Why don't you quit reading that paper? Why don't you quit listening to those newscasts? Because you get upset about this." I think of how foolish people are to go on in those ways, and this upsets me. But then I come back in faith, and I read then from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the one message that I want you to see, I want you to see more than anything else, that God will keep you. It says this in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek and serve Him. May God bless you as you would serve Him. May God bless you as you would seek Him. May God bless you as you would serve Him. May God keep you in His way. May His love and goodness and grace and mercy surround and strengthen and keep you as you await the day when Jesus will come again. Is anyone here this morning who has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Redeemer, has not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, not pledged their life, their health, their sacred honor to the service of God through Christ Jesus? We exhort you, we ask you, come forward, expressing your desire to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. You'll receive abundant blessing through life. All the troubles will not pass away. They'll still be there. But God will be with you, and Jesus Christ will be with you through it all. Through it all, you'll be kept, you'll be led, you'll be directed, you'll be strengthened as you prepare for the days when there will not simply be reading the handwriting on the wall. You'll see the reality of all that God has promised to you. May God bless you as you make a decision for Him through Christ Jesus our Lord.